Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 a.m., and you are tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. And joining me in the studio, I have Joe Roman from the University of Vermont, conservation biologist, and this month's scientist in residence at the Sitka Sound Science Center. Tori O'Connell's here as well, research director and director of the Scientist in Residence Fellowship Program, otherwise known as SURF, at the Science Center. Welcome to Morning Edition, folks.
Hi, Melissa.
Good morning, Melissa.
Well, let's talk, Joe, about how long you're here for and what you'll be doing while you're here.
Yeah, great. So I arrived last Friday, and I'll be here through July, the July 4th weekend. And I'll be focusing on two things while I'm here at the center. One is working with the adult camp here, the fine arts camp, in teaching a class on natural history writing. The focus on that class is often when we think about nature writing, we think about the present tense, going out there, experiencing nature. What I want to do is think about how communities have changed over time, in particular how Sitka and Southeast Alaska have changed. So what we'll be doing is looking at anything from old menus to logging records to trapping records to see how people interacted with the natural world and then compare it to how we do it now and what the natural world is like now. So that's the first thing that I'll be focusing on. And then I'll also be doing some research with Jan Straley with her work on humpbacks later on in the month.
Well, that writing workshop, that's coming up in early June. And Tori, you want to impress upon people that they need to sign up now, right?
Right. It's through Sitka Fine Arts Camp, the adult camp. We're very excited about the partnership, but people need to register. And register is open now. You can go online or I think probably just walk down there. Not with the Science Center, but with the Fine Arts Camp. And it's Tuesday and Thursday evening, starting June 3rd and June 5th, and then the following week from 6:30 to 8:30. And then everybody has a kind of show and tell on that last Friday of camp. So we'd love to see some great participation there. Joe will also be doing a book reading at Old Harbor Books on Wednesday the 28th at 6 p.m. So come join us for a glass of wine or a seltzer and some interesting topics.
Now, Joe, you focus on mainly two areas in your research. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, so my whale research now looks mostly at the ecology of whales. For a long time, we thought of whales as passengers on the ocean. They responded to zooplankton or herring or some other fish in the system. They went there and they fed on them, and we were thinking they just took that food away. The work we've been doing is actually looking at whale poop. So what happens after the whales eat? We see when we're out at sea these large plumes, fecal plumes, right? It can be as large as our research boat. And in there are tons of nutrients. So the whales dive deep to feed. They release the nutrients at the surface. And this really matters in the summer when phytoplankton, when the growth of algae is restricted because there aren't enough nutrients in the sea. So the whales can actually be increasing productivity in areas where they're feeding. That's a primary part of my research. I also look at whales when they die. We're interested in what happens after a whale dies. It's called a whale fall. That often happens offshore in the deep sea, and it brings nutrients down to the deep part of the ocean, which don't have a lot of nutrients. It also sequesters carbon. So this may be a way of mitigating climate change if we can restore whale populations throughout the world. We're seeing that now. You're seeing that in Alaska, but throughout much of the world.
So this is really interesting because it extends our understanding of why and how these animals are important to our ecosystems. You know, and in Sitka, we're, of course, so acutely aware of them. Mm-hmm. They're tied into our economy. They're tied into the animals that come here and in the nutrients that are added back into our forests with the salmon and the herring. But here we have even a more global look at how they're important.
That's right. And in fact, so the next line of research that we're doing is not only are they enhancing nutrients here, not only are they increasing primary productivity, and that's a good analog is the way that salmon end up in the trees, the nutrients from whales end up in the phytoplankton. They also, though, migrate, of course, great distances all the way down to Hawaii. And we think that they come here to feed. They go down there where they're not feeding, but they are metabolizing. So they're releasing nitrogen into those areas as well, probably enhancing productivity. Even so, the fish that are caught here may end up increasing growth in places like Hawaii as well.
We're really connected around the world. Okay, well, will you be studying poop here?
I hope to with Jan. Yes, so I just ordered up some plankton nets from some colleagues back east to send this way. So, yep, we'll be collecting feces throughout the summer, actually.
And how do you do that? You do that with nets?
Yeah, you do it with a plankton net. So it's just you just tow a net with a little a cod end or a liter bottle at the end of the net. And you want to get, if you want to know, it's kind of liquidy. Whale poop. So you're collecting really that liquid, and then you can analyze not only the nitrogen and the nutrients in that, but also we're looking at the microbes, because we found recently that whales have entirely different types of microbes than most other mammals. So our next line of research is to look at what those differences are. And as we suspect, it probably changes over time. Whales don't feed, baleen whales don't feed for 5 or 6 months a year. Then they come here and they feed on either herring or krill. So there's probably a great diversity of microbes there too. So that's the next step in the research that we have.
Well, tell us a bit about your book on endangered species.
So, yeah, I've been interested in endangered species since I was a kid, really. And about 5 years ago or so, I started thinking there were many attacks on the Endangered Species Act. I was working in D.C. at that point, and I thought, you know, the accusations were, one, it wasn't working, and two, it was too costly. So I wanted to look at both of those. There's lots of evidence that the Endangered Species Act is working now. 99% of the species that are on the list have avoided extinction. So clear evidence that the act is working, not as well as we hope. Part of it is we don't have the funding for it. The funding's not provided for it. But the other point that I really wanted to make in that book was to show how endangered species can help communities. They're not only a cost. Whales are a great example. They bring tourism to a particular area. But diversity in communities also can do things like, where I live on the East Coast, reduce disease. We have these zoonotic diseases that are passed on by ticks and by mosquitoes, that typically it's one generalist species, like a mouse or a common bird, that passes on these diseases. But when you have lots of different species in that system, it reduces the burden of that disease. So you reduce Lyme disease by having a healthy community. So those are two of the angles that I've taken in that book.
And of course that, as you mentioned, connects back to whales. And mm-hmm. I'm thinking specifically of the potential delisting mm-hmm. of the humpback whale.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so I mean, I think we, for a long time, conservation biologists have been reluctant to let the restrictions go and to take species off the list for good reason. We're used to having all those protections in place. But I think really right now there's a shift in view, and we realize we have to take the claim success. When species are coming back, we're going to lose some protections, but we're also going to show that this act is working and we can actually prevent extinction and allow species to come back.
It's a good way to affirm the success of the program.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Tori, about what's coming up next for the fellowship program.
Okay, well, it's a busy summer for the fellowship program. This is the last year of the NSF marine-themed program, and because all of our scientists are so busy, it's kind of jammed them up together a bit. So on June 2nd, Lucy Vallistra from the U.S. Coast Guard Academy is coming, and she will be working with our local Coast Guard base, but also the Coast Guard Academy back east. She's the marine biology professor there, and we'll be trying to set up science internships between the Science Center and the Coast Guard. So we're excited about that. She will be giving a natural history talk about wind turbines on the East Coast and birds on June 11th at 7:30. Quickly following on her heels will be in the middle of July to the middle of August, Matt Bracken and Cascade Sorte. Matt actually was born and raised in Petersburg, Alaska, but they are from UC Davis, and they are ecologists that work on climate change and intertidal. And then we have more to come. And the Skaggs Foundation has graciously given us a SURF fellowship for non-marine scientists, and we're interviewing some very good candidates next week for that. So they will be coming next school year.
So a lot coming up. What's your website? How can people find out more?
www.sitkascience.org, and you can look on the research page for the scientists in residency, and all of the folks that are yet to come are listed on the website. Please contact me if you have any questions or would like to get together with Joe to have a cup of coffee or a chat. We're going to go out and do some beach cleanup today, so we're not around today, but you can always call my cell at 738-4000 if you want to reach me about the SURF program.
Well, Joe, it seems like you're going to be busy here mm-hmm. while you're in Sitka. When you leave us, what will you be heading towards?
Oh, something fun, actually. And I second what Tori just said, by the way. Feel free to contact me. I've already met some fascinating Sitkins, and I'd be loved to meet more. I hope that's the right word, Sitkin. So I'll be going off to Provincetown in Massachusetts, where they are launching a 19th century whale ship called the Charles W. Morgan. For the next month, it'll be going visiting old whaling towns. So I'll be like a scientist in residence aboard the Morgan in mid-July.
Well, good luck to you, and I hope I hear more from you while you're here.
Great. Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Melissa.
We've been speaking with Joe Roman, conservation biologist from the University of Vermont and scientist in residence at the Sitka Sound Science Center. He's here until July 5th. You can check out the Science Center's website for a list of what's going on with him. And Tori O'Connell, she is the director of the scientist in residence fellowship program at the Science Center.